I want you to come with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 34, verse number 19. Psalms, chapter number 34, verse number 19. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I'll read again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Let us pray. Abba Father, we come to you in honor. Daddy, there is no one like you. There is no father greater than you. There is no master that is more faithful than you are. You are the El Shaddai, the King of Kings, the CEO. You are the president of everything else and all things, Abba Father. You are the creator of the universe. You are the King of Kings, the Almighty Father. And today as we stand here, Lord, we want to reckon and put you in that perspective. You are the King. Today, Father, even as we come to you, we ask that your Holy Spirit will do a work in us that only you can do. A work worthy of the King of Kings and the Master himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, today is about none of us. It is about you showing forth and doing what you have purposed to do today. So, Father, align everything, my Father God, even in this moment, that your will be done in this place this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And then this afternoon, Father, as we come to you, glorify yourself. Lift your name up on high. Let there be known in the city of Cheyenne. Let there be known in this particular place, in the state of Wyoming, that there is a King in Israel, that there is a God in Israel, and you are Yahweh, our Father. We love you this hour. With thanksgiving we pray. Amen. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them all from all of them. As I said earlier, I love the Bible because God does not, you know, the way people would have medication that is bitter. And to be able to administer this medication, they put a coating on it. I love God because he says things as they are. He is not coding things for us as believers. You see, I want you to tell your neighbor to get ready because I'm about to mess up their theology this morning. I'm about to mess up the theology that you've been taught over the years, that by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, that we are going to learn and understand God for who he is and the things that he has said to be true for you and me that believe in him. Today, I believe in my spirit that there is going to be a work of the Spirit here, that there is going to be healing and transformation and deliverance in our spirits, even as we have come. So if you are one seated in this church this morning, I want you to get excited in your spirit. I want you to get excited. You see, you cannot be able to grasp until you expect. Praise God. There has to be a level of expectation in your spirit, a level of hope that there is something that is going to happen. If you are not expectant, you cannot give birth. If you're not expecting, you will not receive. So I invite you this morning, even as we share these scriptures, that you be expectant in your spirit, that you be anxious in your spirit, that you bubble up. If that level in your spirit is not there, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be expectant. I want to receive. This is my day. I will not leave this church without my miracle today. In Jesus' name. And I guarantee you, as the Father liveth, as the Lord is here, he is going to do what he has set himself forth to do today in the name of Jesus. So the Bible says that many are the tribulations of the righteous. Many are the sufferings of the believer. I want us to just go to the next verse and then we will come to this as we finish. Philippians chapter number 1. If you want to come to Philippians chapter number 1. I should just read up here. verse number 12 to 14, the Bible says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I'll read that again. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places." So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul is writing a letter to the church at Corinth. And he says, listen, the things that have happened to me have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. He says the things that I've gone through as a believer, me as Paul, have openly only happened to me that the gospel of the kingdom is furthered, that it's going beyond. You see, children of God, Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, is not writing as any itinerant preacher. You see, if I'm visiting this church in Denver, I can go there and run my mouth all I want and then leave, because I'm not going to be there to deal with the mess later. But you see, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, a church that he has birthed, a church that he has brought forth, a church that has come from inside of his heart, which means, listen, let me bring this to perspective. For the parents that are in this place, you understand that there is something that goes off when it concerns something that you have brought forth. Ah, come on. You understand that you are a parent when you run in your car with one shoe because somebody messed up with your child. You understand you are a parent when you run outside without makeup on because something is messed up with your child. There is this instinct that goes on in your spirit. I am going there and I'm going to do something about it because it's something that you've birthed. There is something. So Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, he's writing to a church that he has given birth to from his own heart, and every instinct in the side and in the life of Paul is to protect the church. Like I said, if I go to another church, I can run my mouth all I want and just walk away. But Paul knows this is, when I am speaking to the church at Rema, it is my heart. I say everything with a passion, with every heart, every part of who I am, because I know that by the grace of God we have brought this forth and it's to his glory, and I do everything to protect the members of this church. I do everything to protect everything about this church because it's what we have started. It is what the Lord has put in our hands. It is what the Lord is doing about it. And so Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, a church he has started, a church he knows he's responsible for, a church he knows is all about him. But then listen to me. If you are a parent, we have a way to want to protect our children, to want to cover them from some things. But Paul, when he's speaking to this church with the same instincts to want to protect this church, to want to cover this church, he tells to them, he says to them, listen to me, children of God. He says, my suffering has come to the furtherance. He says, listen, expect that if the kingdom of God is going to go forward, if the kingdom of God is going to bring forth, if the kingdom of God is going to lay forward, there has to be suffering. That there is going to be situations in your life that you do not want to happen, but they will happen anyways because it's happening for the furtherance of the gospel. He says to this child that is born, he says, listen to me, as you come into this world, as you come into maturity church at Philippi, I would like you to know. And he says, I would like you to remember, I would like to bring this to your attention, that there is going to be suffering, that the suffering that I have gone through as your father has been to the furtherance of the gospel. What is Paul referencing to? Paul goes into the city of Philippi, excited about the kingdom of God. Him together with his brother Silas, they are preaching the gospel of Jesus in the city of Philippi. But you see, listen to me, children of God, the persecution does not come because, or the furtherance of the kingdom does not necessarily come because of the preaching of the gospel. Because Paul preaches the gospel just enough to make the authorities arrest him. He preaches the gospel just enough to get himself arrested. The Bible says that as he's preaching and wonderful things are happening, that there comes this particular woman and she starts following them. You know, free advertising, we've talked about this, it's in Acts chapter 16. This woman starts saying, this man, they are of the Lord Almighty. This man have got the Spirit of God in themselves. This is something I would be rejoicing about if I was Paul. You know, somebody going out there and plastering everywhere, go to Rema Covenant Church, it belongs to the King. But then the Bible says that Paul looks aside, like, and he sees the spirit under which this woman is operating under. In as much as she means to say the right things, the spirit behind the things that she's saying is a wrong spirit. Because sometimes, children of God, they are going to come across messages that seem to be written well, that seem to be said in the right way, but the spirit behind the words that are being spoken is the wrong spirit. This woman was going about saying to everyone, this man have got the Spirit of God, but the spirit with which she was operating was not the Spirit of God. The Bible says, test every spirit. So you are not receiving everything. You're not eating everything that you receive simply because it's a man of God that said it, simply because it's, you know, it was the right thing. It was enticing to my ear. It seemed right that they said those. They did not say anything wrong. And you just palate eat that. The Bible says test spirit. So every time somebody is speaking, you want to sit down and take a moment back and say, why? What is the motivation behind this? What is the power behind this word? That it might be coming to me, but the motivation could be different. So Paul turns around and casts that demon out of this woman. He casts the spirit out of this woman. But you see, there's something that is going on. There are these people that are the authorities behind this woman. They were eating because this woman would say things and people would pay them for what this woman had said. So the Bible says that they after he casts the spirit out, this woman doesn't have anything to say anymore. And they get angry and they arrest Paul. And they put him in chains. And the Bible says they give a command that Paul will be put in the darkest cell, in the deepest. When the jailer, the Bible says that when the information got to the jailer, that these were the wanted people, that they were bringing trouble in this city. And the higher ups were aware of this. The big people were aware of this. So he says, I want you to put them, to secure them well. And the Bible says they put them in the darkest prison, in the one that is farthest of them all. And that night, the Bible says, you see, in the prison, in the jail at Corinth, before these men of God were put in there, the Bible says they got whipped. They got beat up. And you know, by beating up, we are not talking people whooping them with belts. We are talking being beat up with things that left marks on their body. They left them bleeding. They left them with pain. And they were not the only prisoners in that particular prison. And there's a chance that everybody in that prison had been whooped, which means that the noises that were heard in that prison, day in, day out, were the noises of groaning. Men crying because of the pain, because they had beaten up. Men crying because of the bitterness of their situation. Their circumstance was not okay. They were mourning and crying. But then something happens on this particular night. The Bible says cell B. Something goes on in cell B. At that prison that night, there is singing and praising. There is all the praises that you've ever heard. And the Bible says that all the prisoners heard them because they were singing and praising God. A sound they had never heard before. All they had heard over their lives was crying, bitterness and groaning. But this night the Bible says that a praise breaks forth in this prison. And then something happens as they are praising God, as they are singing to God. And we are not going to go to that again. That's a sermon for another day. Today we are talking about suffering. The Bible says that as they are praising God, that something happens, that there is an earthquake that shows up. The Bible says that an earthquake that shakes the very foundations of the prison. An earthquake that shakes the foundation. Do you know how a prison is built? Have you ever seen Shawshank Redemption? The Bible says there is an earthquake that shakes the very foundations of that prison. And the Bible says the other thing happens, that all the chains that are tying the prisoners, they break. And all the doors of the prisons, the Bible says they fling open. And Brother John looks at the other one and says, man, the gates are open. What shall we do now? We have been set free. And Billy Bob at the back says, you know what, brother? I think we shouldn't leave. Excuse me? He says, we shouldn't go anywhere. Why? I don't know. But I just feel like we need to stay here. Well, I know the chains are no longer on my feet. I know that the doors are open. I know that this is an opportunity for me. Oh, I know that the jailer is asleep. That nobody is watching. But you know what? There is something the child just tells me. We shouldn't go anywhere. We shouldn't run. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure, man. I'm sure. Let's just kick back. You mean the doors are open and we're going to kick back here? Do you know what happens when they come tomorrow? He says, no, we're not going anywhere. It's hanging there. And the Bible says that none of the prisoners took off. Because you see, the goal of God in bringing the earthquake was never to free the prisoners. Come on. Oh, I messed up your theology. Because you've always thought God was opening the gate so they could go. Nah. In fact, the Bible says that the jailer wakes up suddenly. He did not hear the earthquake. He did not hear the doors opening. He did not hear the chains falling. He wakes up and he sees everything. And he's like, what is going on? And then the Bible says he takes a sword. And you know, he wants to be a gentleman, so he sticks the sword in the ground and he clears his makeup and he says to himself, I'm going to fall on this sword. You see, and as he's standing there thinking about it, thinking to end it all, because he knows what will happen to him when the authorities are aware that he slept through an escape. As he's going, the Bible says that Paul shouts with a loud voice, and he says, hey, don't do it. We are still here. None of us has left. And the Bible says that this jailer, he comes and falls down at the feet of Paul. And he says, there is something about you that I want. And the scriptures say that he gave his life to Christ, not only him, but his entire family. But you see, that's not the miracle. Then they say, you know what we should do? We should let these people go. We should let them go. We should release them. We should release them. And Paul says, no, you can't just release us. You've harassed us. You've beat us up. I know my Bill of Rights. You're not going to just whoop me, put me in jail without the judge, and then wake up in the morning and tell me you can now go secretly. He says, no, I know I'm going to stay back here. Because you see, again, the release of the prisoners is not what God was after. Come on. Paul has been whooped. They've been beat up. In the middle of the night, they've been put in the dungeon and at the back of the cell. The Bible says they've been tied with fetters. There is suffering that is going on. It is a prison. But you see, Paul understands that our Father in heaven will not have him go to prison just to bust him out. Come on. He understands that there is something about suffering that has to bring forth. Ask my wife 2 years ago in a few months, that when there is suffering, that when there is the pains of birth, that there is something that has to come forth, that every suffering has got a purpose, and the Lord wants to glorify himself in you. I had written in your bulletin, and unfortunately you won't have access to this today. I'll bring it next week. He says,
that when Jesus Christ is confronted about this man that was born blind, and the disciples, these people ask him, who sinned? Was it the mother or the father? And he says, no, none of them sinned. In fact, the only reason that this person is blind is that I might glorify myself through this situation. Listen to me, child of God. Sometimes the Lord allows you to be put in chains. Sometimes he allows you to go to a prison that you do not understand. Sometimes he puts you in a financial kind of a cell, and at the very, very back of there, because he has got a purpose. And sometimes his purpose does not have anything to do with his release. You see, for God to release you, it is not a big deal. He can cause such an earthquake and the chains will fall off, but that is not his goal. Let us not be in a hurry to get away from this a little bit squeezing situations. We live in a country that has told us that we value comfort here. Listen, the painkillers in America, if I grew up in Africa, so I know this. The painkillers in Africa don't make the pain go away. I'm not joking. The painkillers in America, you put one in your mouth and the pain just goes away. Like you can see a wound and there is no pain. We live in a culture that has taught us to fear pain. Americans are afraid of pain. I am afraid of pain. I became an American recently. Signing that document did it. They did me in. We live in a society that is so insulated that we are afraid of pain and we think pain is wrong. In fact, we've even gone ahead as ministers to preach to you that because you are a Christian, that you're not going to go through suffering, through pain, through persecution. Yet Jesus Christ himself says, I believe in John chapter number 15, verse number 20, he says, I am the master, and if I have suffered persecution, then you will suffer persecution. If I have gone through tribulation, then you will go through tribulation. What we have just studied today, the Bible says that many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them from him from them. Listen to me, child of God. Sometimes God allows us to be at the prison at the very, very end. Oh, sometimes God sends us to, he wants us to meet Mary in ward hospital room number 103, and he knows the only way to get you to room number 103 is when they are taking you in an ambulance with a chest pains and palpitations in your heart. God allows you to go through that, so they put you on that ambulance so you can meet with Sister Mary Jane, because the Lord has got every purpose to every suffering that you go through, every situation that you go through. God wants to bring forth because he allows it. So Paul is in this prison, but God has got a purpose. The definition of Paul at this time is man. It is suffering here. It is painful here. It is not comfortable here. But you know God has got a purpose. And Paul understands one thing. He understands that there is a purpose to the suffering. That is why when the gates are burst open and the chains are falling off, an opportunity to run. And Paul says, I will not run until he reveals himself, until he reveals why he allowed me to be in prison. He says, I will not take out of this door. And then they tell him, you know what, we need to release you. He says, I am not here for small people like you. He says to them, when they release him, when they want to let him go, it's secretly, he says to him, no, bring the big people, bring the higher ups. I want to talk to them. I want them to see what God has done in my life. Sometimes some people want to see things, and God allows us to go through some situations so that the higher ups may be able to see. And that is why when Paul is writing to the Philippians, he says to them, listen to me. My suffering was so that the higher ups can hear. So that the people in the governor's office be talking about my situation. So that the people in the president's office be talking about my circumstances. So that the people in the higher offices can be talking about the kingdom of God. You see, sometimes God allows us to go through things so that the people in higher ups in the hospital wards can be able to talk about what they have seen God do in our lives. Your suffering has got a purpose. Your suffering has got a necessity. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ learnt obedience through suffering. I don't know what you think you are. If he learnt obedience through suffering, there is going to come a situation in your life that is going to call for you suffering so that you can understand obedience. That is going to call for you suffering so that you can understand forgiveness. That is going to call for you suffering so that you can understand the love of God and his deliverance that can come upon you when you choose to be faithful and wait him out through that particular suffering. The Bible says that Paul writes to the church at Philippi and he says to them, I'm going to read that again. He says to them, brethren, but I would you understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all the other places. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace, in the higher ups. You know, Paul is like, I'm not dealing with the small guys. In fact, when they release him in Acts, he says, no, we are not leaving until the people higher ups can come to us. Let them be the people releasing us. Because you see, when they are coming to release him, the first question is going to be, when this governor shows up, he's going to ask, why did you want to see me? And Paul would smile and say, you know what? I wanted to tell you what happened last night. Do you realize that we could have gone? Do you realize that we could have left? Do you realize that we had all the freedom that we had, yet we did not, because of the love of Jesus? And it's the same gospel that he preaches. And the governor is going to leave there and be like, man, I met this crazy guy. Can you believe the prison doors were open and they didn't leave? And why? It says, because of this guy called Jesus. And then that person will go to another person and they will start talking. Sometimes God allows you to go through a situation, and as you're going through it, he glorifies himself. He uses your circumstance and your situation that his name will be glorified. Paul says, my suffering. He says, I would have you know that sometimes suffering, that the chains that I've been in, the bonds that I've been in, they have value and they have helped further the kingdom of God. Sing to me, child of God. The first church was born in a prison. Come on. The first church, which is the church of Philippi, it was born behind walls. Because God could have started the church in the streets. He could have started the church anywhere. Yet he allows Paul to go in prison. People started talking about Paul. The Bible says, in fact, if you continue, he says, then after I was released, after all this suffering happened, people started, he says, people gained boldness. He says, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confidence by my bonds are much more bold to speak of the word. Sometimes people want to see what you're going through, Tasha, and say, you know what, the Lord delivered Tasha from that. I want to speak of this Lord that Tasha is speaking about. Sometimes people just want that boldness to say, you know, I grasp, now I understand it. Paul goes through this circumstance and this situation that the kingdom of God might be expansive. In fact, the Bible says that some people, even maliciously, when you read the next verse, it says maliciously continued preaching the gospel. You know, people that were mocking to Paul, that they were like, it's a mockery to Paul. People that were malicious, they started maligning him and preaching against him. And as they go forth, you know what Paul says? Paul says, you know what? I don't care. Because every time they are going to be malicious, guess whose name they are speaking? The name of Jesus. So even when people are like, did you know what Christians are going through? This sister calls herself a Christian. But do you know what she's going through? But do you know what happened? The Lord came through and healed her. And now she's walking around. She's so proud. You know, they are preaching the name of Jesus. Bible says, or Paul says, even as he writes to the church at Philippi, he says, this is to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus. There is story after story after story in the Bible about men, thank you, and women
of God that have gone. Joseph is such a story. I'm going to read this verse in Acts chapter number 16, verse number 37. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly and condemned, being Romans. This is the part where he says to him, I know my bill of rights, and have cast us into prison. Now do they thrust us out privately? Nah, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. Let the big, the higher ups come. Let them be the people that are setting us out. So at Peel. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared, and they heard that they were Romans. So Paul allows them, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart of the city. Sometimes God allows us to go through circumstances that when people hear that story, that when the higher ups come across such information, that they go forth and your message is even a bigger message. Sometimes God allows us because he understands that if you go with the soft and the niceness, sometimes the message is not loud enough. So he chooses to bring in circumstances and situations that are confining, that are chainy, that put you down. That when the message comes forth, it's bigger than what it was. And the Bible says, and they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now, I said something in your bulletin that you will not have access to today. I said that suffering is inevitable, okay? It's inevitable for if you're a believer. In fact, that bulletin, it's first. The first sentence is when Jesus Christ is speaking in the book of John chapter 15 verse 20. He says, remember, brethren, that I am your master and have suffered. The reason that he says remember is because it is something that we have to consistently remember. Because as we hang out with Jesus, as we hang out in Christianity, we get cozy. Sometimes we get too comfortable and forget that suffering is part of what we've been called to. And you know, Jesus says remember, as he's going to remind us this morning, that there's going to come circumstances that are confining for you, that he may glorify himself. Circumstances that are harder for you, that he may show up. He says remember that you're going to go through this. And so the Bible says, then they went to the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they comforted them. This is powerful. They needed comfort. They had been in prison. They had been in suffering. But the Bible says when they showed up at Lydia's house, they were of comfort to the people at Lydia's house. What I had written in the bulletin is this, that suffering is inevitable. But the way you go through suffering determines whether it is going to come out as a mess or whether it's going to come out as a message. It is not whether suffering will happen or not. Suffering must happen. It will happen to you because you're a believer. But when it comes your way, when the winds blow your way, your reaction to the winds will determine whether what comes forth is a message or whether it's a mess. How is where the key is? How is where the key is? The Bible says that these people, after they went through suffering, they did not come out of there whining, oh Lord, why me? Why did you allow them to beat us up? You know, we are in pain. Why would we be in pain? The Bible says that when they came out with boldness and confidence. And when they go to Lydia's house, they tell them, it is well. God bless you. You are a blessing. And sometimes God would have us be the people that are comforting people. I normally tell people the healing for depression is so easy. Wake up in the morning, go do something for someone. And as you do something for someone, your depression is slowly healed. Like you don't have to tell them anything. Wake up in the morning and run an errand for them. And as you're running an errand, you know what? It's giving you energy because depression tells you, you sleep. You don't want to wake out of bed. It is too heavy for you to get out. But the moment you say, I'm going to do this for Sister Anne. Oh, by the way, you should do it to Pastor Dan. As you go ahead and say, I'm going to do this for Pastor Dan. Guess what? You will find yourself outside the house. In your head, you're doing something for Dan. And that's when the spirit of heaviness is lifted from you. Comfort somebody else when you need comfort the most. I've read this before. The Bible says that when Paul was... They ended up in the island of Malta. The Bible says that they had been on the ocean for 14 days. The ocean has got freezing water. So by the time they hit the shores, they are very cold. Everybody's shaking. And the people, the dwellers on this island of Malta, the Bible says that they made a fire for them. Do you know what Paul did? He did not sit by the fire and warm himself. The Bible says that he went to look for firewood to warm other people. That is Christianity. He needed the warmth so desperately. Yet the Bible says that instead of sitting by the warmth, he went to find firewood so that he can warm people. And that's when the snake bit him. We know that story. It's a beautiful story. Sometimes God would allow us in the moment of need. I love God for Michaela because she's here this morning. And I know that her healing is going to be found here this morning, this afternoon, in the name of Jesus. I believe that without a trace of a doubt in my spirit. There is a mandate for your healing today in Jesus' name. God is going to heal you today. See, suffering, going through the things Michaela is going through, but thinking to herself, I need to be an encouragement to the church in Cheyenne. She gets in a vehicle and she's here today with us. She went and found firewood to come and warm us as a church when she needs to be warmed up in her bed. Paul goes and encourages Lydia. He goes to the house of Lydia and says, brethren, you're well, you're blessed, you're okay. And then they departed from the city. They went. Three ways that you can go through suffering. Remember, we've said suffering is inevitable. We must go through suffering. How we go through it is what makes the difference. The first way to go through it, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 12. And these are the three ways. They're so simple. It's 12:12. You can remember this. You can take it to the bank. You can take it home. The Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Three ways, simple and easy. Says rejoicing in hope. Hope is a desire, an expectation or a desire that something is going to happen. Bible says rejoicing in hope. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 5. Again, easy, you can remember that, you can take that to the bank. And he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He says, in other versions of the Bible, he says, hope does not disappoint, because the Spirit of God is alive in us. Which means that the hope that we have inside of us is not hope because I'm Dan. It is not hope because I'm an American. Praise the Lord. It is hope because the Spirit of God has been shown forth in us. That it is not hope because I am just, you know, wallowing on the ocean. It is hope because I know and I know and I know. Bible says in Romans chapter number 6, I believe verse 28, he says, the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am the son, that I am a child. The Spirit of God is shown forth in you, so your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know your father, you know your king. When Paul is brought into prison, he's not concerned about running away. So it's not a big deal. He knows it's going to come forth for him. He knows, in fact, when you continue reading that scripture down there, the Bible says that when he finishes this particular verse that he's writing to the Philippians, you know what he tells them? He tells them, you know what? Guys, I think I need to die. Because when I'm present with the Lord, it's cool. It's really neat and that's what I desire. But it's going to be more beneficial for me to stay. And then he says to them, listen to me, he says, even if you do not see me, he says, I know I will come to see you. But even if in my absence, even if I die today, it is still okay. But you see the hope that he holds out, he says, but I will be somewhere doing the work of the kingdom. Hope in tribulation. Hope, it is knowing and knowing and knowing that I am going through. The Bible says, if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will. You see, the Bible says going through. And that is the key. You do not park there. You do not bring your RV to the valley of the shadow of death.
pass there. Go through it. Go through it. And you know, the beauty is that the Bible says that as you go through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus Christ, or God, is in the valley with you. I in your bulletin again, sorry, I feel so bad. I quoted Psalms chapter number 62, verse number 12. The Bible says we went through waters, we went through the fire, and you brought us to a place of rest. The key word is going through, going through. Inside the water, the Bible says that Jonah is inside the water, inside the fish, and then he prays, and God answers him. Inside the water, he is there. Inside the fire, the Bible says that Abednego and his buddies, they are inside the fire. Do you know what happened? The Bible says they threw three of them inside. They are tied up. And then as they look inside, they see four of them walking around in the fire. And the Bible says that God makes a heathen man a prophet. A heathen man, the king who had thrown them in the fire, this evil, wicked man. The Bible says he comes and looks, and then he prophesies. He says, that one looks like the son of God. Do you know that time there was nobody who knew that God had a son? He says, the other one looks like the son of God. It was Jesus in that fire. Going through the valley of the shadow of death. Going through. Pass through it. Pass through it. Hope. Hope is knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a bulb at the end of the tunnel. That I can see the end from where I stand. That it might look glam. It might look so ugly. But I know. To be able to hold out to hope, you have to understand that there is a purpose to the suffering. That is why when the prison gates are burst open, Paul does not leave. Because he knows there has to be something bigger than just God putting me in here to send me out. There has to be something bigger. There has to be something bigger than, you know, God having me talk to these small people. There has to be bigger. I understand the purpose. That's what gives you hope even in that tribulation. I know there has to be a reason he's allowing me to be here. There is a reason he's allowing me to be here. Holding on to hope. Second thing he says, be patient in affliction. Paul is not in a hurry to leave what would be a prison. He is patient in there. You know, when the doors, if I was in prison and the doors burst open, I'd be like, yo, I'll see you on the outs. But the Bible says he's patient. When you are going through a wilderness, don't be in a hurry to get out of the wilderness. In Kenya, in fact, we used to say, if you get out of your wilderness before the 40 days are over, you will have to restart. Uh-oh. You have to wait until your 40 days are over. Until every purpose of God that was intended to take place in the prison happens. Before you get out. The enemy is a liar. He's going to give you ways out. Like these people. Coming and telling Paul. Go. Paul is like, no. I need to speak to the high. I need to speak to the governor. I need to speak to the president of the palace. The leaders of the palace. They have to come here. So that they can speak of what God has done. Sometimes when we are going through these situations, we need to say, you know what? Until God's purposes are accomplished, I'm not getting out. Patient in affliction. How do I know God's purpose? It's the third one. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. I want to read this verse even as we close. We are almost closing. That's what I'm trained to say. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. Be not in a hurry. Be patient. Be not excited to get out. Be patient. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God.
The Bible says that when these people are in their tribulation, they are in the midst of the prison, in the darkest one, the one at the very back, with maybe several doors separating them from the outside. They start praying. They start praising. They start worshiping the Father. They are patient in their affliction, and they pray, and they seek the face of God. And I believe that in that moment, the Lord reveals to Paul, this is bigger than just you getting out of this prison. The earthquake might come, but the earthquake is not meant to get you out of prison. The earthquake is meant to have people's attention to what God is doing in your life in the midst of your affliction. Paul says, brethren, this is happening to me for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. This is happening to me. He says, remember, brethren, that the things I'm going through only happened for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. This is the verse that I had quoted in there. Chapter number 66, verse number 12. The Bible says, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I do believe in my spirit. As I was praying this morning and asking the Lord, I was asking the Lord, this message does not look anything like me. I'm selfish like that sometimes. I said, Lord, this doesn't look anything like me. I don't know how to say these words. So when I had to say yes to coming to minister this message, I said to him, I would that you bring people that need to hear this message. I would that you bring somebody that needs to hear that their circumstance is only that you may be glorified. And I do believe that God has brought the right person here. That could be you. That could be me. To come and hear this message. I'm going to do something here that we haven't done before. I want us to worship God. Uh-oh. But we've been worshiping. I know. But I want us to worship God. I want to apologize in advance for your time. But I want us to just worship God. And the second thing that I want us to do, I want you to take authority. And I want you to send the fire of the Holy Ghost on this pulpit. I want you to just take authority and start speaking and sending the fire of the Holy Ghost upon this place. Listen, God is here this morning. God is here. He is in this place. I want there to be manifest presence. Have you ever heard of Shekinah glory? It is the visible, tangible presence of God. That is what I want us to experience in this place. That there will be no mistake. If there is going to be an earthquake, let it be so that God may be glorified in this place. So I want you to stand up on your two feet. I don't know if the worship team will help me up here, but I want us to worship God. I want us to worship God. I want us to just take a moment and go before God and worship Him. Because He's about to set people free from their prison. He's about to set people free from their prison, not for the sake of being freed from the prison, but for the sake of His glory. For the sake of His glory. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to worship God. Don't wait for the music. Just worship God. Open your mouth and worship Him. Worship is just declaring Him King, declaring Him holy, declaring Him the Master, the King, the El Shaddai. Father, we worship You. We bless You, Father, because You are God and there is no one like You. You are faithful in every way. You are gracious in all accounts. You are King. You are the El Shaddai, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And besides You, Father, there is no other. You are faithful, King Jesus. Oh, we praise You. We worship You in this place. Somebody worship Him. Somebody praise Him. The Bible says that all the prisoners in the prison could hear Paul and Silas as they shouted and praised the Lord. I want you to be that person that is shouting the loudest, saying, Lord, be glorified. Lord, be praised even in this place because You are the King. Father, we love You. We worship You, Jehovah God Almighty. Thank You so much for Your favor. Thank You.